Matthew 11, we're going to start at verse 20 and just read it to the end. So Matthew 11, starting at verse 20. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day that you made, and just coming, being able to come here to seek your face, seek your word, Lord. We pray that you would just open our hearts and minds also, just to understand and receive everything that you want to share with us today, Lord. Would you use me this morning to speak, to deliver your message clearly, and also with your heart. Thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, starting at verse 20, Jesus speaks of the, I guess you could say, the unrepentant cities. And these are all the cities where he did many miracles. So in the case of Capernaum, you've probably heard of it. This is his hometown where he did his ministry and did many of the miracles. But then he also mentions these other two cities. What were they called? They're called the other two cities, which were Chorazin and Bethsaida. You've probably never heard of them much. But, you know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, whatever is mentioned, all the stories in the Bible, is just a part. It's just a little portion of what Jesus did in his life. So these are presumably two other cities where he also did many miracles, but they weren't written down. So he's basically kind of just sharing, like, oh, these cities, what's happening, they're being unrepentant, and because of that, they're being unrepentant, so all these miracles are happening, you know, Jesus turns water to wine, blanking, but many miracles, and yet the people are just going about their life, right? So they see what's happening, and they recognize, like, oh, there's something going on here. And some of them even might have more revelations, like, oh, you know what? I think this Jesus is the Messiah. But even though they see all this, they're just like, okay, that's cool. Right? So you could say they believe, So they believe, but they don't want to follow, right? And you could say that's no different than even Satan and the demons, right? They obviously know that Jesus, God, is real. They know the Bible like the back of their hand. They believe in some aspect, but they're unwilling to follow. So that's what's happening with these people in these cities. And you still might, oh, that's crazy. But it happens. I remember I had a roommate long time ago in retreat, and he just shared this story about his, I believe it was his aunt or cousin. And she was just, I think she was just at some cafeteria somewhere, like a public cafeteria, and she started speaking in tongues. She's not a believer, and she just, either not a believer or like very minute, and then she starts speaking in tongues, just there and then. And, suddenly, some person randomly was like looking at her, like sat across from her, and kind of approached this person and the cousin, and they just sat there. And then someone came over and was able to interpret what was going on, because this person didn't speak English. And it turned out her tongues was an actual language. So she was speaking the language, I don't know if this is the correct term, like native Indian. Is that correct? Is that the PC? Anyway, native Indians, like in the US, right? And basically she was speaking in that language. That was her tongues. And she got an interpreter, and then it's like, oh, what am I saying, basically? And basically she was sharing the entire gospel in that tongue to this person. And then, but the point of the story is, in the end, she, despite having that crazy experience, she actually was like, okay, that's cool. And then went back to her like normal life, right? So clearly, just having these crazy experiences in our life is not necessarily enough to make us, it may make us believe, like, oh, there's something there, there's something real, but in terms of offering our life and following the Lord, it's not enough. And perhaps, I'm throwing this out there, oftentimes we pray for our family members who aren't Christian, or, you know, people we care about, and we pray for crazy experiences, right? Because we hear of those testimonies about Jesus appearing in dreams, or some crazy miracle happens, and we pray for that, and it doesn't happen. I submit to you, perhaps it's out of God's mercy that it doesn't happen. Because, according to this, because these cities, Capernaum and those two other cities, because they were exposed to this, and yet they did not, they weren't repentant to follow Jesus, there was a greater judgment that would happen, right? And perhaps it is mercy oftentimes where, in some ways, those crazy things don't happen. Because if it does happen, then, and they don't, then there's a judgment that comes. So the context for this is more for people who are non-believers who've had this exposure. But it also reminded me of what Tyler shared, and he referenced Pastor Sam, and he talked about the unconverted Christian, right? Which is, yes, in that moment you gave your life to the Lord, but after that you kind of go about your life as is. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this, in what is really driving your life right now. And that brings me to the second point, which is talking about yoke. The yoke. And the chapter ends with saying, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Honestly, when I first heard this, I don't know why, but I always thought of eggs. Anyone else? Am I the only one? No one else. Okay, just me. So I always thought of eggs because it's like talking about yolk, easy. I was like, eggs over easy. And for the longest time, I'm like, okay, it's probably about eggs. Well, probably not about eggs. But despite that, I still got a general feel of what it meant, right? Which is, okay, has something to do with Jesus and his burdens are light, right? So finally, I really was like, what does this yoke mean? Because every time I heard it, it sounded so nice, but I always thought of eggs, like this image of eggs. So what is a yoke? What is a yoke? Okay, so what the literal meaning of yoke is, it's before there were tractors, people, when they farmed, they used oxen and to do the work. And these oxen, usually be a pair of oxen, there would be this, I guess you could say it's a wooden harness, it's like a U, that would be placed on the top of the neck. And that harness is called a yoke. There we go. So now you guys know what a yoke is. And what the yoke was used for was to basically guide and drive the oxen, right? So symbolically, it's also the same. So that's what Jesus is saying about the yoke. So if you don't have the yoke that Jesus has, then the question is, what is the yoke you have right now? And it could be different. For the Jews, it could be the yoke of the law, right? It's the law that really drives them. And thus Jesus wants to abolish that and say, hey, take my yoke. Or maybe the yoke for different people is, it could be your careers. It could be popularity. I don't know, maybe that's more high school. It could be various different things. And those different things could be the yoke that is on you. And that's why also, I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent. It also talks about marriage and says, don't be unequally yoked, right? Because these oxen, this yoke, it's always for a pair, right? So it's two oxen and it's a you, and it rests. So if you're unequally yoked, it could be like, you know, one oxen is stronger, one oxen is bigger. And what would happen? Then the yoke, like this you that's on both of them, it would just be carried by one, right? And then, of course, in a relationship or marriage, you want it to be equal, right? So not one person is carrying that. So again, not eggs. And so you can ask yourself, what is the yoke that you carry or are carrying right now? Another question would be, what is the yoke that Jesus carries? Right? And so what is driving Jesus? And there's many answers, but to throw out a few, it'd be he's a son. He's a child. That's what is driving him. He is completely surrendered and completely submitted to the Father, right? That's what's driving him. So that's the yoke he's kind of offering up to us. Hey, take this yoke. And it is easy and my burden is light. And you might think, oh, well, does that mean if I take his yoke, my life will be easy? Right? Is that what it is? That all my troubles are gone? No, because, you know, in prior chapters, you hear about like, oh, when you become a believer, persecution will come, there will be suffering. But when he's saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light, it is because if you take his yoke, it's not just you're taking what drives him, but you're also doing it with him. Again, oftentimes, one of the interpretations I read is, you know, oftentimes when we think of a yoke and this picture of oxen and you know, the person driving the tractor, I guess, but in this case, driving the oxen, where do you imagine Jesus? And oftentimes you would think, okay, he is the one who's like in the back hitting the oxen, commanding you, go here, go there, do this, do that. But actually, so this is just an image. It's not literal, right? It's one of the images. He's actually the oxen next to you, right? And he's carrying that yoke with you, and he's doing it with you. So the reason his burden is so easy, or the yoke is easy, and my burden is light, is, I mean, part of it is the purpose that he gives you, that drives you, but the other big one is he's doing it right alongside with you. So, Janella, I invite her up. So, just those two points regarding the unrepentant cities, and then also Jesus shares about the yoke and invites you. And he says, and this is, he's basically addressing all that are weary and heavy laden. So if you're feeling weary and heavy laden right now, or feeling some of that, Jesus is addressing you. And he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I know all of us have, or at least my presumption is most of us have already accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So this is not the same as when Jesus addressed those cities. But the question remains, which is, what is driving you, right? What is driving you? And there's incredible mercy and grace that Jesus gives us, in the sense of, no matter where we're at, just as with the lessons and the restoration of Peter, he'll meet you where you're at. He'll meet where you don't have to be perfect, right? But the one thing with Peter in that whole process of being imperfect was his heart was always for Jesus, right? In those momentary lapses, yes, he made some mistakes, but his heart was in the right place. So even right now, it's good to assess and reflect, because I know, especially Hong Kong, so busy, sometimes we don't get a chance to do that. And yes, we've already accepted Christ, but what is driving you right now? What is your motivation? Is it to be like Jesus, to carry his yoke, which is to be a son, to surrender, to submit, to only do what the Father does? If it isn't, if that's not, then just, you know, have a conversation with God, repent, and ask for his help to take his yoke. And that doesn't mean just you will it, but it means he's also doing it with you. Yes, Jesus, we just are reminded that even as we take your yoke that is easy and the burden light, you know, is done in relationship and partnership. And, you know, just as this song, you know, it's not just where we have to will ourselves to change and be better. God, no. But if we are willing and we offer you simply our hearts to you, to follow you, to give you control, you will change our hearts. You will transform us. You will mold us as a potter, Lord. And we just thank you that it is not by our strength, but it is really by yours, God. And when we are weak to you, you can just mold us and become something perfect as you created us and intended for us to be, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. And we ask that, you know, for all of us, not just the revelation of what we need to be repentant of and the status of our hearts, but as well, I pray for just endurance and the will to really overcome through your strength in this time, that we would recognize our weakness and just really seek after you, Lord. Seek after you. All those things that have a hold on us, God. Whether, you know, it could be even silly things like, you know, television shows, right? But for you, we would be willing to just surrender it and seek after you, Lord. Seek after you, Lord. Thank you. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look to our screens and let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those loved ones that are going through cancer. Let's pray for healing, restoration. Let's pray for those who are also recovering through chemo and radiation therapy. Also pray for those who are sick and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for, you know, not just the opportunity or that God would just use these situations that they would come to know Christ, but let's also pray that their hearts even now would be ready and softened to receive. Also cover friends and loved ones who are suffering from infirmities. pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for favor, for doors to open, for God to make use of this opportunity where they have more time to really draw near to Him. To our Thursday prayers, let's first go to Mission Focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace, who's at Bloom. And let's also pray for Japan. Let's pray for P. Sophia as well. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team, led by Matt. Let's pray for The Well, our physical healing ministry, P. Ricky. And let's pray for Cascade, our inner healing ministry, led by Rachel. Let's pray for anointing and protection over the teams. Let's pray. I know a lot of IP people just came back from the States from a conference. Let's pray that they would just really make use of that momentum and inspiration to pray. Cover the education ministries, Noah's Ark, P. Mary Kneeling. Let's pray for also SP Youth, P. Nate, and SP Youth University. Let's pray for P. Ricky and Andrew. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for guidance for the leaders in terms of how to lead the young people to encounter God. Cover the Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Pray for opportunities, for favor, that the ministry teams would operate out of love and not obligation. Pray for the house churches. It's the first house church week. Let's lift up Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, Olympic. Pray that everyone would just be so excited to see each other again and then be together. Pray for a fruitful discussion time as well as ministry time. Jesus, as we embark on this day, Lord, let us just go knowing that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light and that you are with us in whatever we do, in whatever we face, Lord, you are with us, God. So we just thank you, Lord. We pray that as we and just live out the blessings you have given us in our work, our careers, our free time, whatever it may be, that we would do it with just a willing heart, do it so free and do it in enjoyment, God, knowing that you're with us and it's a gift from you, Lord. I pray that you would open up our ears and our eyes and our heart to see you at work today, and when the opportunity comes to be used, we would just step into that with faith and without trepidation, God. We thank you, Lord. Pray for your blessing over everyone here today. Bless their spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit and to lead our body and soul. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. Please continue to spend time with God.